I'm a restorative ocean farmer. It's a trade both old and new, a job rooted in thousands of years of history, dating back to Roman times. I used to be a commercial fisherman chasing your dinner on the high seas for a living, but now I farm 20 acres of saltwater, growing a mix of sea greens and shellfish. I've paid my debt to the sea. I dropped out of high school to fish and spent too many nights in jail. My body is beat to hell. I crawl out of bed like a lobster most mornings. I've lost vision in half my right eye from a chemical spill in Alaska. I'm an epileptic who can't swim, and I'm allergic to shellfish. But every shiver of pain has been worth it. It's a meaningful life. I'm proud to spend my days helping feed my community, and if all goes well, I will die in my boat one day. Maybe get a small obit in the town paper, letting friends know that I was taken by the ocean, that I died a proud farmer growing food underwater, that I wasn't a tree hugger, but spent my days listening to and learning from the waves and weather, that I believed in building a world where we can all make a living on a living planet.
That's Bren Smith, reading from his new book, Eat Like a Fish, My Adventures as a Fisherman Turned Restorative Ocean Farmer. Bren began his career as a commercial fisherman, but now is the owner of Thimble Island Oyster Company, a 3D restorative ocean farm in Connecticut. So what exactly is a 3D restorative ocean farm? Well, Smith says it might just be the future of working on the sea. He says it is a lot different than the life he used to live.
You know, when I shifted from a commercial fisherman on the Bering Sea in Alaska to a salmon fisherman and then a shellfish, and the shift from fishing to farming was actually kind of unsettling and boring. You know, for me as a fisherman, I always chased fish, you know, further and further out to sea, and it was an adventurous life. And farming is much more sort of meditative, careful, slower. So that was a challenge. That said, the similarity is there's still sort of jobs you can sing songs about, right? Mm. They're jobs with meaning, the pride of helping feed the country. You own your own boat, no boss, a self-directed life. So although I don't chase and kill things anymore, I still have that part.
Mm. When did you get started fishing?
So commercially at age 14. So I grew up in Newfoundland. My parents were from Connecticut and New York, and they went up during the war. They were draft dodgers. And I grew up in a little fishing village, fishermen's co-op, you know, brightly colored houses, pinks, greens, oranges, all painted with leftover boat paint. And, you know, I dropped out of school just loving the ocean. And, you know, my heroes weren't astronauts or cowboys. They were fishermen.
The life of the fisherman, as you say, is it's hard, it's dangerous, and you're chasing this living thing. How did your relationship with that work change as you grew older and you learned more about the work that you were doing?
Yeah. You know, I showed up, especially in the Bering Sea. I just loved it, right? The wild humility of being in, you know, 40-foot seas, the hours I love, 30-hour shifts with 13 other people in the belly of a boat. But as I eventually went back to college for a while and then kept on going back to Alaska and just learned the context that I was working in. Which was, you know, I was working in the height of an industrialized fishery, tearing up whole ecosystems, and most of the fish I was catching was going to McDonald's for the fish sandwich. So, you know, when I faced that context, I realized I loved my job, it was an incredible job, but it was extractive and there needed to be some changes. But, you know, I wasn't an environmentalist. It was really a realization that, oh, for me to make a living on the ocean, we had to become stewards of the ocean.
Mm. So you moved from ocean fishing into aquaculture, and your early experiences in aquaculture are a bit different than what your experiences are today. Explain to people who don't know what aquaculture exactly is, because there's a lot of tiers to this idea. Mm.
So aquaculture is really farming the ocean, and traditionally it's always been about farming fish, right? And the reason is, you know, we fish and we wipe out the fish and then we decide, okay, we're going to grow what we've wiped out because that's what the markets demand. That's what tastes demand. So it's traditionally been about growing, you know, salmon, tunas, things like that.
That's what people like to eat.
Yeah, exactly. What I found when I arrived on the salmon farms, because that was supposed to be the great hope, right? In jobs for fishermen, we're going to feed the planet, all this sort of stuff. Instead, it did exactly what land-based industrial farming did, but in the sea, right? Monoculture, using antibiotics, pesticides, polluting local waterways. I mean, really growing neither fish nor food. Iowa pig farms at sea. So instead of looking at the ocean as this unique agricultural space and asking the ocean, okay, what do you want us to grow? We just grew around existing wild tastes, and I think that was a mistake. So after I left the salmon farms, I didn't know what I'd end up doing, but that was a journey of really asking the ocean, okay, what makes sense?
And as you ask the ocean that question, going from there, what was the ocean telling you? What were you learning about what the ocean wants humans to grow?
You know, I ended up here in Long Island Sound. It's sort of this full circle of my family. I never expected it. Lived in an Airstream trailer in Guilford. It was supposed to be about 6 months. It ended up being 7 years, which the first 6 months were great, by the way. I started with oysters, and I was a terrible farmer. I ran a death camp, right, killing millions of oysters because I didn't know how to farm. But what oysters taught me was that if you grow things that don't want to swim away and you don't have to feed, it's a game changer.
Mm.
So because we have all these species that can grow just with nutrients that are in the water that we have too much of, too much nitrogen, too much carbon, too much phosphorus, and grow with sunlight, it becomes really a simple, elegant, and quite honestly, cheap way to grow food.
So what does that look like? Maybe you can describe for our listeners what 20 acres of a polyculture in the ocean looks like. What's in there?
Yeah, so we call it restorative ocean farming. And imagine an underwater garden where you've got anchors down the bottom and then just buoys up to the surface and then horizontal lines about 8 feet below the surface. And from there, we grow our kelp vertically downwards. We attach mussels in something we call mussel socks, scallops and lantern nets. And in my farm, I've got oyster cages sitting on the seafloor and then clams down in the mud. And this sea basket approach of growing year-round different species, it diversifies risk for the farmer. But the interesting thing is because it's all underwater and all it is just rope scaffolding, that's really cheap. You just need like 20, 30 grand to start and get up and get up and going. But it also has a really low aesthetic impact. So you can boat, fish, swim over the farm. Some of the best fishing in the whole area, I'm in the Thimble Islands, is right on my site, and has a low aesthetic impact. And this is really important, right? Our oceans are these beautiful, pristine places. And instead of massive fish pens, we can have these aesthetically low impact farms.
Brent Smith is the owner of Thimble Island Oyster Company. It's an ocean farm in Connecticut. He's the author of a new book called Eat Like a Fish, My Adventures as a Fisherman Turned Restorative Ocean Farmer. You can find more information about the work that he's doing on nextnewengland.org. Brent, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. Total honor.